بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us this deen of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. Allah said that with Allah there is only one deen, and that is Al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That on the day of judgment, if anyone comes with anything other than Islam, this will not be accepted from them, and they will be among the losers. They will be among the people of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said about his deen, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on this day we have completed this religion and we have completed our favor upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and are pleased to choose for you Islam as your deen. My brothers and sisters, it is, we know from the Khutbatul Wada of Rasulullah ﷺ that Rasulullah ﷺ, when he went on Hajj, with what we are told is about maybe 120,000-125,000 of his companions of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, Rasulullah ﷺ called out and asked them. And he said, have I completed and conveyed to you everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to me? And with one voice they said, Ya Rasulullah, you have completed and conveyed to us everything that Allah sent to you. They said, Ya Rasulullah, yes. Rasulullah then lifted his head up towards the sky. He lifted his finger up and he said, O Allah, you are the witness. My brothers and sisters, I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam brought this deen of Islam into this world and presented it to us and gave it to us. And I bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his job perfectly and completely and without any gap in it, without any deficiency in it. He did not leave anything unsaid, unwritten, unspoken. I bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely conveyed with complete integrity and with complete thoroughness whatever was revealed to him, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us this deen totally and completely as it was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He did not leave any deficiency. He did not leave any gaps. He did not leave anything unsaid or unexplained. I bear witness that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us is the deen and not anything else other than what he taught us. And this is with special reference to ibadat. You know and I know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us things in such detail that some of the people of the time, some of the mushrikeen, they used to laugh. And they used to say, for example, oh, your Nabi teaches you how to do istinja. Your Nabi teaches you how to wash ourselves and clean ourselves after answering the call of nature. Your Nabi teaches you how to, for a woman who has periods, how she must clean herself. What kind of Nabi is this? And we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, for a Nabi like this, who did not leave anything unsaid. He taught us everything in the minutest detail. He taught us how to make wudu. He taught us to do khilal between our fingers and between our toes to ensure that the space between the fingers and the toes is also wet with the water. He taught us how to clip our nails. He taught us how to cut our hair. He taught us that to have hairstyles which are in steps, where part of the head is shaven or is cropped close and the rest of the hair is left big, is not permissible. He taught us how to eat. He taught us how to drink. He taught us how to have a relationship with our spouses, both physical and emotional. He taught us every single thing in the minutest of details. My brothers and sisters, therefore, we have his hadith where he said, أَصْدَقُ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْحَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَشَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدَعَ وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said that the best speech, the truest speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the kitab of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that all innovations, all evil comes from innovations. And that all innovations are prohibited. They are all misguidance. Kullu bida'atin dalala. He did not say kullu bida'atin dalala illa fulan fulan. No. He did not say all innovation is misguidance except something. No. Kullu bida'atin dalala. Every innovation in religion is dalala. It is misguidance. Kullu dalalatin finnar. And all misguidance is in the fire. I remind myself anew of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that I will be on my house of Al-Kawthar. And he says that I will give this water of Kawthar to my umbatis, to my followers. And he said, the one who drinks that water will not be thirsty abadan. He will never be thirsty again. And then he said also that when I am standing on my house, at my house, some people from my ummah will come towards me. And he said, I will recognize them by the fact that their faces and their hands and their feet are shining. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why will the feet and face and hand shine? He said, this is where the water of wudu touched them. So we are talking about the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which used to pray, which used to make wudu, which used to do salah. When such people are coming towards him, Rasulullah ﷺ said, the malaika, the angels will intervene and they will drive them away from me with whips. He said, I will call out and I will say, why are you doing this to them? They are my people. And the angels will say, Ya Rasulullah, you do not know what they did after you. They invented in your deen, they changed your religion, they permitted things that you had prohibited, they prohibited things that you had permitted, they made changes in your religion, Ya Rasulullah, therefore they are far from you. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will turn his blessed face away and he will say, keep them far. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, when this Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this deen so completely and perfectly and in so much of detail, if anyone comes with any action or any recommendation, or if anyone wants to do something or say something in the name of Islam, in the name of worship, in the name of ibadah, what is ibadah? Ibadah is any action which is done with expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Whatever the action may be, if we are doing it with the expectation that Allah will reward us, this becomes ibadah. So if anyone comes with any ibadah which is not reflected in the ibadat and in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or permitted, then this is the definition of bidah. Bidah is not, sometimes people get mistaken. They say, oh, but you know, I'm riding in a car, so is it a bidah? I'm going in a plane, is it a bidah? Riding in a car is not ibadah. flying in a plane is not ibadah. You're not flying in the plane so that Allah will reward you. You're flying in a plane because you want to go from point to point. So some people, this is all the counter arguments of ignorant people. So before arguing, you must first learn the definitions of Islamic terms. Riding on a camel might be sunnah, but not riding is not bidah, right? So the point is that bidat is anything that we do with the expectation of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm saying this is today we are in Rabiul Awal. Today is where I'm sitting here in America. It is the 10th. And you and I know that tomorrow and day after tomorrow, people will have all kinds of celebrations and so on and so forth, claiming to celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mawlid, Mawlud, Milad. These are the terms which are used. Now, the point is this. That here was the Nabi alayhi salam who taught us how to wash our hands and how to ensure that the space between the finger is wet when we make wudu. Here is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam who taught us how to clip our nails. Why am I saying all this? Because if you clip your nails the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us with the intention of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is ibadah. Allah will reward you inshallah. So the point I'm making here is, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam who taught us this deen in such intimate and intricate detail, do you think he would have left out the celebration of his birthday if that was part of religion? What is your opinion? The reality is today, we don't even know the date when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born. 11th of Rabiul Awal, which was a Monday, was the day he died. The day he passed away. We know he was born also on a Monday, but we don't know the date. Now think about this. If celebrating his birthday was important as a part of religion, if this was something to be done every year, then two things would be very clear. Number one is we would know the date. You might say, well, you know, nobody recorded. Well, Allah recorded, right? So Allah could have told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so many things. He, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him the story of the Ashabul Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him the story of Musa al-Khidr alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how difficult was it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that though people did not record your date of birth, your date of birth is actually this month and this date of this month. And please ensure that this birthday is celebrated, and this is the way, and that's the second point. One is the date would have been clear. Secondly, the methodology of celebrating the birthday would have been specified because this is ibadah. For example, the methodology of wudu is specified, including the fact that the actions of wudu must be done in sequence. Your wudu is not wudu if you wash your feet before you wash your face. So therefore, the exact way in which this ibadah of celebrating the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have been specified, and the date would not have been a mystery. The date would have been known because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the date, and Allah would have informed his Habib Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this date. Did Allah do that? No, Allah did not do that. So therefore, did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam celebrate his birthday? No, he did not celebrate his birthday. There is a hadith to say that he used to fast on Mondays, and in one place he said that I fast on Mondays as thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I was born on a Monday. Alhamdulillah, no problem. You want to fast, please fast. The point is that nobody can take that hadith and claim that the 11th of Rabiul Awal must be celebrated as the birthday of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where is the question of 11th of Rabiul Awal coming into the picture? Because we don't know the date. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never celebrated his birthday. His sahaba never celebrated his birthday. His birthday celebrations actually began in the Fatimid dynasty, which is the Shia Fatimid dynasty of Egypt, where the Khalifa was advised by one of his ulama to celebrate the birthday, to celebrate his own birthday. And as a kind of excuse to do that, the alim advised him also to celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of Hazrat Ali bin Abi Talib, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Hussein, all of these four people, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam five, and the Khalifa himself six. These 6 days used to be celebrated as birthdays. That is where it started. Over 300 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, after all the Sahaba had finished, after all the Sahaba had passed away. My brothers and sisters, nobody loved and nobody can love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than his Sahaba loved him. If his Sahaba did not celebrate his birthday, then the question of loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and celebrating his birthday as a sign of his love does not arise. Because are we happy that he was born? Of course. This is the best possible thing that could ever have happened, and it happened, alhamdulillah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself announced that. We bear witness that he is the greatest ni'mah. And what is that ni'mah? That ni'mah is to follow him the way he told us to follow him. Not to invent in that followership by celebrating this and not celebrating that and so on and so forth, and inventing all kinds of customs and practices in the form of celebration. Tell me, this Maulid, Maulud, whatever you want to call it, is it celebrated in the same way everywhere in the world? Short answer, no. Why am I asking the question? Because, take Salah for example. Even though in Salah there are differences in terms of Rafaidain, in terms of folding our hands, in terms of leaving them by the sides, but the fundamental arkan of Salah, the fundamental pillars of Salah are exactly the same. You can pray in the Salah in any country in the world and you will find you are doing the same thing, except for the small, furu'i, minor differences. And even those differences, every single one of them has a dalil relating to how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. The people who are doing Rafaidain, they didn't invent Rafaidain. They are doing Rafaidain because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did Rafaidain. The people who are not doing Rafaidain also are not refusing to do it because of their invention. They are refusing to do it because they have the dalil to say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam only raised his hands once when he was doing Takbir Tahreema. Similarly, other things in Salah. But it is the same. What about this Maulid and Maulud? Is it celebrated the same way in Hyderabad? I'll tell you what happens in Hyderabad. In Hyderabad, there is actually a masjid where the imam does two rakat of Salatul Eid on Miladun Nabi. It is called Eid-e-Miladun Nabi. And the man actually has a congregation and he is doing two rakat Salatul Eid. Now you might say, what kind of an ignorant man? My point is, that is where it goes, and it goes much further than that. The road to Jahannam is paved with good intentions. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, don't raise me and don't raise my status and don't exaggerate in praising me like the Christians have done with Isa bin Maryam, right? Why did he say that? Because he knows the human tendency of doing that. People made Isa alayhi salam into the son of God, na'udhu billah. They didn't make him that. I'm saying they say or they claim falsely that he is the son of God. Why do they do that? Because they love Isa alayhi salam. They do that out of good intention. That's why I said the road to Jahannam is paved with good intentions. Just because you have a good intention, it does not mean anything. Yes, you are happy that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born. Believe me, I am as happy as you are, if not happier. Therefore, what must we do? Follow the religion the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the religion. If you are happy that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world, if you are happy that alhamdulillah you are one of his ummatis, then the worst thing to do is to disobey him. The worst thing to do is to do something that he prohibited, which is to create inventions in his deen. Any kind of invention in the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something which he, not only did he prohibit that, he promised punishment for it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, kullu bidatin dalala, kullu dalalatin finnar. My brothers and sisters, please understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this deen. Anyone who is introducing anything into this deen, just listen to this again. Allah sent this deen, and he sent it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this deen. So there are two entities involved. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sent it, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who conveyed it to us. Now, anyone inventing anything in this deen, anyone introducing anything into this deen, is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not do his job completely and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do his job completely. This person is saying by his speech or by his action that there was a lacuna, there was a gap, there was a deficiency, which now this person is completing and fulfilling by whatever practice that he or she is introducing. Now, my brothers and sisters, isn't this complete suicide? why it is in this total nonsense that we fall into this trap. Please, do not fall into this trap. We do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did or told us to do. And we do not do what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do and did not tell us to do. If anyone recommends to you something and says, why don't we do this? Why don't we celebrate Milad? Why don't we celebrate the birthday of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the 11th of Rabiul Awwal or 12th of Rabiul Awwal? Please tell them to show you the dalil, to show you the proof that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam celebrated his birthday on this particular day. If they can show you a dalil, and it has to be a dalil which is acceptable, the level of proof, then alhamdulillah, no problem, please do it. The reason I'm saying that is because you know and I know that there is no such dalil. This does not mean that you don't love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't worry about people. Let people say what they want. We know in our hearts how much we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, this is sufficient and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our witness. The people who love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam follow him. They don't go against him. The people who love Allah obey him. They don't go against him. The people who are inventing things in religion are going against Allah and they are going against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So any claim of loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from such people is lies and falsehood. Because if you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sign of loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to follow him, is to do his ittiba, and the sign of loving Allah is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I request you, my brothers and sisters, please don't fall into these traps. If somebody invites you, please tell them very politely, sorry, I don't participate because this is not from the sunnah. Simple as that. No need to pronounce takfir, no need to pronounce this and that, no need to make fatwa. Simply say, I do not do this because this is not sunnah. And if they want to prove to you how it is sunnah, let them prove it to you. But without that, please don't do that. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all bid'at, to save us from all falsehood, to save us from everything that goes against what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us 100% always on the sunnah in every single detailed, intricate, intimate aspect of our lives and to take us in that state. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.